for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
You know the way sometimes you read a verse of scripture and it absolutely jumps off the page at you and you just think, wow, that is good. Have you had that experience? Yep. Well, tonight I'm going to preach from a couple of those verses. I was going to continue and I had actually started preparing the story of Lazarus and Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life, carrying on the I ams. But my mind kept going back to this here and I felt this is what I should speak on tonight. So it was from Leviticus. You think, you didn't know there was any verses in Leviticus you could go wow at, did you? That's probably why I went wow, I ploughed my way through it. Leviticus 26, 11 to 13. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Those verses are definitely, wow, they are amazing. In fact, because it's so short, I'll just read them again. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. From these verses tonight, we're going to look at three things briefly: relationship, freedom, and dignity. If you know anything about the book of Leviticus, you, I'm sure at some time or another, have read through it, you'll know it's not the easiest book in the Bible to read through. If you're doing one of these, which I'm doing at the minute, one of these through the Bible and the book of Leviticus, and you start reading and then it's just maybe repeating something about that and it's all these sacrifices and you're maybe getting your head, trying to get your head around it. But you understand it's all these regulations that the Israelites had to observe. If they wanted to come and make an offering to God, there was a whole big process they had to go through. But if I can take you back a bit, if I can take you back and you read in Exodus 24, Moses going up Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments there and God's law, God's commandments on the stone tablets, and instructions from God on the tabernacle that Moses was to have built for God's presence to be among the people. That was where God was going to dwell, in this tabernacle, as they moved from place to place. Now, up to that time, before that, Moses had erected this tent thing, a tent of meeting. And Moses used to go into this tent to meet with God. And he would speak to God on behalf of the people. Here's what it says in Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Isn't that awesome? Then when this tabernacle, and it was you know, so precise how it was to be built and everything about it, when it was finally constructed, there were three main parts. There was like a courtyard area. Then you move further in, there was the holy place. And then there was a curtain. And in behind that curtain was the most holy place. There was like a box there. And in that box, covered in gold, there was the stone tablets, the ark that was there. And that the stone tablets were there with God's law. And on top of that, there was built a mercy seat, or the seat of atonement, the atonement cover, pure gold, and the cherubim rising up. This place, this most holy place where God's presence was, only the high priest, that was Aaron, he could only go into that place one time every year. And again, to go in there, the preparations for that, I mean, they were unbelievable. He had to wash, he had to put on the special clothes, he had to make all these sacrifices, firstly for his own sin, because he was just a man, then for the sins of the people. But you know, when the tabernacle was completed, before even the priests had started to do their work or anything, here's what we're told about it when it was completed in Exodus 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses couldn't enter because the glory of the Lord filled it. What must that have been like? Have you ever experienced something of the glory of the Lord, where the glory of the Lord has really touched you? Where the glory of the Lord has, like, in some way settled upon you, maybe at a time, and you've felt his glory resting on you. I actually went to visit a couple from this church this week. I won't name who they are. Just went to visit them. And we were just having a wee time of prayer before I went. And I was thinking, how am I actually going to get out of this chair? Because I felt the glory of God in that living room. I actually felt the glory of God. It was actually quite an overwhelming experience. Just sitting and praying with a couple from our church. God's glory. How we long for God's glory to fill his house, to fill this tabernacle, as it were. And then, you know, just after that, the ministry began, the priestly ministry. Aaron as the high priest, his sons and the Levites as the priests. And the whole book of Leviticus is all about that. All the rules and regulations, the people had to meticulously follow them to keep this covenant relationship with God. The people understood God's covenant. God had made this covenant, a covenant of blessing. But the people understood they had to obey. They had to hear the terms of the covenant and obey God. If they wanted the presence of God to be among them, they needed to listen to God and obey what he said. They wanted God to be among them. God had chosen them. God had set them apart from all the peoples of the whole world. They were special to God, his treasured possession. He had freed them from slavery. And now they had God's presence in their midst. But it was quite something to keep the covenant. It was quite something to keep these regulations. In fact, the people couldn't do it. But as you read through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, you might wonder what it's all about. It's pointing to Jesus. And I encourage you to read it. And read it alongside the book of Hebrews, especially Hebrews 4, chapter 4 to 10. You might not understand all of it, but read them together and see Jesus being the fulfillment. If you sinned in those days, you had to come and present your offering, your guilt offering, your sin offering to the high priest, the priest. And he would slaughter the animal and sprinkle the blood and all of that. We don't do that. Why do we not do that? Because we now have a great high priest, and his name is Jesus. Jesus who hasn't just gone through the curtain. Jesus, the Bible says, who has gone through the heavens in his own body. I'm going to read you some verses from Hebrews. Listen to this. It says, now there have been many of those priests, that's the old priesthood system, since death prevented them from continuing in office. So when Aaron died, passed on to his son. When he died, passed on to his son, and so it went on. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Listen, such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he sacrificed, or offered rather, himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. That is why we no longer come offering bulls, goats, sheep, doves, pigeons. That's why we don't have a big altar that you sprinkle blood on. We come to Jesus, our great high priest, who offered himself so that we could enter the very presence of God, the new covenant. The old under the old, the people did not remain faithful. They just didn't. They fell away time after time after time. They couldn't keep it. But here's what he says about the new. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer do you have a rule book. And if you do this sin, here is what you must do. Here's how you will get forgiveness for that. The Bible isn't a rule book. The Bible is the word of God to guide us, to teach us, to correct us. But it's not a rule book. Because if you only see it like that, you're not under the new covenant. Because in the new covenant, his law is in our minds and it's written in our hearts. But under this new covenant, he said, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Does that encourage you? That your wickedness and your sin will not be remembered anymore? You know, as I went to see and have been going to see Jim McKendry, I just love that wee man, I really do. And just see him lying there, reaching the end of his earthly days. I just said to Graham before I come out, you know, you could be the richest person in the world, you could be the poorest person in the world. You could be the greatest status in the world, you could have no status in the world. You know, when it comes to it, that you know you're the Lord's is all that matters. It's all that matters. To lie in a hospital bed and to know that your sin will never be remembered against you, that is some confidence. That is confidence. Can I just encourage you tonight? Don't try to follow the world's ways. Don't get caught up in the whole world's ways. No matter how young you are, how old you are, to follow the Lord wholeheartedly in whatever aspect of life God has called you, but to follow him wholeheartedly is the greatest thing in this world. And it's the only thing actually that matters. Couldn't begin to go into this evening and everything about the new covenant. You may not understand it all, but to understand this, Jesus is our high priest. Not only did he offer a sacrifice for us, he was the sacrifice. He offered himself, the unblemished Lamb of God. And he says, I will walk among you and be your God. I will walk among you. Right even from the Old Testament, you see that God wants to be close to his people. Christianity knows nothing of distant gods. Christianity is all about God Almighty walking close to us. We sang that song tonight, wonderful, about holy, holy is the Lord, and then worthy. And I was thinking, he is holy, he's exalted, he's like so far beyond us. And yes, he's worthy. And again, it feels so far beyond us. And then we sang, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the Lord. It's not bringing God down to our level. I don't mean it like that. But it's like God saying, I'm with you. Emmanuel, we said it this morning, God with us, Jesus in our midst. That language, I will walk among you. That's the language of relationship. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, God walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. There's an intimacy of relationship. We come to the new. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In Christ, we can walk with God. Oh. If you wanted somebody to say something about you, would you not love it if they said, they walk with God. They walk with God. If the yoke has been broken from off your neck, you can walk with God. Jesus opens up the way that we can walk with God. Covenant relation. I will be your God and you will be my people. And that, as Matthew Henry said, is grounded in redemption. Secondly, freedom. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke. I'm assuming, maybe wrongly, but I'm assuming you all know what a yoke is. Paul, are you listening? And is that Craig there? Craig, are you listening? Do you know what a yoke is, boys? It's what? It's inside an egg. You see, now you, do you know any other kind of a yoke? I am really glad I asked you that because you'd have gone home and been totally got this sermon all wrong. That's assuming you're listening, of course. No, well, that's one kind of a yoke. The other kind of a yoke, boys, is where they put a big wooden frame over the neck of two animals and it would sort of put their necks down and they would go and they plough a field. So it was to keep them harnessed together. That's the kind of yoke we're talking about, okay? Yokes was also used on people. Sometimes when people were taken slaves, they put a yoke around their neck. It was a symbol of slavery. So to break the yoke was saying, I'm setting you free. You're released. The relationship that Jesus has brought us into with God is a relationship of freedom. Isn't that good? A relationship of freedom. We have freedom from the past. Whatever held us bondage in the past does not need to hold us bondage now. It's broken. The power of sin, the curse of sin, we sang it tonight, has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Many Christians are not aware of that. They think, I'm still in bondage to that thing in the past. No. That has been broken in your life in Jesus' name. You need to learn to live in it. Because sometimes we allow that yoke to be placed back on us. But Paul says in Romans 6:11, he said, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You might think, oh, that thing's still there. That thing's still bothering me. Paul's not saying it's not bothering you, but he's saying, count yourselves dead to it. It's dead to you, and you need to count it as dead, and you need to remember that you are now alive to God in Christ Jesus. You're under new ownership. Your freedom has been purchased by the blood of Christ. You're set free to serve the living God. Under the old covenant, if after the 7-year period in Israel, the slaves could go free, and if a slave loved his master, don't know how often this happened, but if a slave loved his master and he didn't want to go free, what had to happen, they had to take, I'll not demonstrate this, but Craig, I was thinking I could demonstrate it with you. No, I'm only joking. They would take the slave up to a doorpost, get like a nail and awl, and bang it through the doorpost and pierce their ear. Do you fancy it? No, don't think so. That would be no yoke. Good one. That's an old one that Graham tells, and I just felt you needed one of his wee jokes. That's what they would do. The slave would say, I love my master. I want to be a slave to him. The New Testament sometimes refers to Christians as slaves of God. And what does that mean? Paul said he's using a human term to help us understand something. Paul said it's slavery to God in the sense that when we are bought by the blood of Christ, we are to live in absolute, unquestioning obedience to God. Not my will, but yours be done. But Paul makes a vital contrast between our slavery to God and our slavery in sin. He said, when you were slaves to sin, you reaped a harvest of shame. And he said, you did things that resulted in death. But now that you are slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Who do you want to be a slave to? Look around at, I don't mean at each other, I mean at people in the world who are slaves to sin. Is it not true that they reap a harvest of shame and the result is death? Isn't that true? When we look at our lives, we're slaves to God. Paul said it's just a human term to help us to understand. But it's what we're reaping leading to holiness, but the result will be eternal life. That's our freedom. And finally, our dignity. He said, I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Isn't that wonderful? That's a beautiful description. A slave, you can imagine a slave. You can imagine even speaking about those slaves who came out of Egypt. And you know, at one point when Moses went to free the children of Israel, and when the Pharaoh was so infuriated, the slave driver said, not only do you have to make bricks with the straw, you have to go out and gather your own straw. Previously, they'd got that given to them. You have to go out and get the straw and make the bricks, and you have to keep the quota up. And it was killing them day after day. They were a bondage, a physical bondage, slavery to the Egyptians. Add it to the physical bondage. Anyone, and there's a lot of modern day slavery, anybody who is a slave will tell you, people begin to believe they're worthless. They're treated as if they're worthless. They're told they're worthless. And eventually they believe that they're worthless. So many people, even today, say, if you're treated badly long enough, you become to believe that's all the value that you have. But God says to his people, he says, I have broken your yoke. I've broken the bars of your yoke, and I have enabled you to walk with heads held high. You need to hear that. That what has happened in your past, maybe what you did or what was done to you, how others have treated you, how you believed or what you believed about yourself. Can I just say, that doesn't dictate your value. Calvary dictates your value. The cross of Jesus dictates your value. What God was prepared to do to purchase you, to break the bars of your yoke. He's saying to you, I have done that for you. I died for you. I broke the bars of sin over you. Why? To enable you to walk with heads held high. We're his ambassadors. We are people who are living testimonies to the power of God, to the love of God, to the glory of God. God says, get your head up. Get your chest out and walk tall. Walk in the grace that I've given to you. Be a living ambassador of my incredible love. There's some people, and they love to drag up your past. That always amazes me. Sometimes people, they just drag up other people's past. In one sense, it's not as good not to forget where you've come from. That's good. But you know something? Don't let your past become the arrow of regret that's continually piercing your heart. Don't let it become that. In Christ, your past is gone. It's gone. It's clean. You have been forgiven. You are a new creation. The bars of the yoke have been broken. It is time for you to walk with head held high in the freedom of Christ. Allow others to walk in that freedom. Don't hold other people's past before them. Give other people a chance to walk in freedom and dignity. We all know people who struggle. We all know people who have made commitments and they fall away for a bit and then they come back for a bit. And it's so easy sometimes just to give up on them. So easy just to write them off. Don't be somebody who writes people off. Be somebody who prays. Be somebody who encourages. Be somebody who stands in faith and fights for that person, fights to see them truly free in Christ, so that when they come back, they don't have to come shuffling in, feeling shameful, but so they can come in, get right with God, and walk with head held high. God promised, I'll finish with this, God promised blessings for his people. Right from Abraham, it was a covenant of blessing. And although the way sometimes the headings are in the Bible, it's like rewards for obedience. Obedience, you know, it's not rewards in that sense, because then you earn it. Blessings God's not earned. But we can, in our walk of obedience, put ourselves in a place to receive the blessing of God. Are you living in obedience? Maybe you're thinking, why am I not in the blessing of God? Are you walking in obedience? Are you following him? He says, I'm your God. I will walk among you. I put my dwelling place among you. I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God. You will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Walk this week with your head up in the freedom that Christ purchased for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can come right into your very presence through your blood. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence because of your sacrifice. Thank you that the Father says to us, I am your God and you are my people. Thank you that the bars of the yoke have been broken from us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk closely with you in that relationship. Help us to walk in the freedom that you purchased for us. And help us to walk in the dignity that you have given to us as your people. And help us, Lord, to be true ambassadors for the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our lives tell the story of your incredible love. Amen.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.